We now begin the eighth and final chapter of Maseches Yuma. This is Perek Ches, Mishnah Aleph, 8:1, and this discusses more of the practicalities of Yom Kippur Bizman Hazeh nowadays. This first Mishnah discusses the Chamesh Inuyim, the five categories of, I'll call them pleasures for a minute, that are forbidden on Yom Kippur, because the Pasuk says, this is Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Zayin, and also Chav Tes. Ach biyom asar lechodesh hashvi'i hazeh, yom kippurim hu. Mikra kodesh yelachem, ve'nisim esnaf shoseichem. On the 10th of the 7th month, what we call the month of Tishrei, that'll be Yom Kippur, a holy day, on which ve'nisim esnaf shoseichem, you will afflict your souls. That's a typical translation of inisim. Ki kol hanefesh asher lo su'uneh, any person who doesn't afflict himself be'etzem hayom hazeh, v'nichrasa me'ameha, will be severed from its people. So that's the obligation for Inui. Now, we're going to have five categories of things that one must avoid, which constitute the Inui of Yom Kippurim. I'll list them for you. The Mishnah says, Yom Kippurim Asur. The following five things are Asur and Yom Kippur because of this requirement to mishana, to afflict oneself. Bachilo v'shtia, eating and drinking. That's one of the five. Uvarachitza, washing. Uvasicha, anointing oneself with oil. Uvaneilas sandal, wearing leather shoes. Uvatashmish amita, and marital relations. Now, according to it's a machlokas rishonim, whether all five of these are isurei d'oraisa, or if they're only isurei d'rabban, with the exception of vechila and shtia, eating and drinking, which for sure is an isurei d'oraisa. Now, there are psukim brought for all five of these categories of Inui. The number five comes from the fact that five separate times in the Torah there is the requirement for Inui. Besides the one pasuk I read for you, it also says Bechodesh Hashvi, Ba'asar Lachodesh Ta'anu Esnaf Shoseichem, and that's in Vayikra Perek Tezayin Pasuk Chavtes. It also says Shabbos Shabbason Hi Lachem Ve'inisem Esnaf Shoseichem Chukas Olam. It's a holy, it's like a Shabbos, a special Shabbos, a Sabbath of Sabbaths, and you will again afflict yourselves. It's an eternal decree. That's the third. We also have in Pasuk Lamed Aleph of the same parak there in Tezayin, it says, Shabbos Shabbason hu lachem ve'inisim esnaf shoseichem. Again, the requirement for self-affliction. And then finally it says, for the fifth time, this is in Vayikra Chav Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Beis, uva'asar lachodesh hashvi hazeh ve'inisim esnaf shoseichem. So, five times it says the requirements for Inui, and therefore we understand that there are five separate categories of Inui, of affliction. According to Tosfos and various Bali Tosfos, the other four are in truth just Durabanans, and the Psukim are brought, and I'll bring the Psukim for each that show that each of these categories of Inui are indeed an Inui, are just an Asmachta, they're just a support to the rabbinic injunction. But there are other Rishonim who learn that all five are actually Isurei D'oraisa. At all events, everyone agrees that the penalty of karis, divine severance, perhaps premature death or not having children, or all the above, Rahman al-Salam, all apply only to the eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Everyone agrees that there's no penalty of karis for the other four categories. Let's go through them one at a time. So first of all, eating and drinking, that will the Mishnah will say more about that, the shiurim, how much, so we'll put that aside for now, and we know what eating and drinking is. Second is over. Oh, I guess I'll bring the pasuk that shows that eating and drinking does, not eating and drinking, is constitutes Inui, because in Parshas Ekev, when it talks about the Jews in the Midbar awaiting before they got the man, it says, this is Devarim, Perkches, Pasuk Gimel, 8:3, V'ya'ancha v'yarvecha, you were afflicted and you were hungry. So you see that being ra'ev, hungry, is constitutes Inui. Now, the drasha, which says that it's only, even if you hold all five are isurei d'oraisa, all five categories, that only refraining from eating and drinking is the karis penalty, that's based on a drasha, because the pasuk goes on to say, Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Lamed, v'ha'avadati es ha'nefesh ahi, I will destroy that person who fails to afflict himself. And the Gemara Darshans, we're only talking about things that can lead to self-destruction, meaning failing to eat and drink would cause a person to avedas nefesh, to lose his life, to die. Of course, other things, like if you don't get to anoint or wash or wear shoes for a long time, that wouldn't lead to the loss of your life. So it's only eating and drinking which has the karas penalty. Okay. Next you have rechitza. Rechitza is washing, and this means really washing for pleasure. So washing, like, because you're hands got soiled, you have to change a dirty diaper, whatever the story is, that's not a problem. It's specifically, I'll call it pleasure washing. The basis of this is the pasuk, actually a string of pasukim, the truth is. First, the pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Perek Beis, pasuk Chavav, says, Uviyom hazeh lo amisecha. Shlomo Melech says to Eviasar, the Kohen, who was a part of the treasonous activities against David, he says, I'm not going to kill you today. Ki nasasa es Aaron Hashem Elokim lifnei David Avi, because you bore the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem before my father David. V'chi hisanisa b'chol asher hisana Avi. And also you suffered the same afflictions that my father was afflicted with. So that will mean any afflictions that David Melech were endured in his flight from Avshalom would constitute inui. And the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yudzayin, pasuk Chavtes says, Ha'am ra'ev v'ayef v'tzameh b'midbar. The pasuk in Shmuel Beis says that the people were hungry, the people meaning David's people, they were fleeing into the desert and they were ra'ev, hungry, ayef, which means, usually translated as like weary, and sameh, thirsty. But what does ayef mean? So the pasuk in Mishlei, a third pasuk, to string this together, says, this is Mishlei perek chafhei, pasuk chafhei, mayim karim al nefesh ayefa, like talks about cold water on a weary soul. But you see that the cold water comes to address an ayef person, which means a person who hasn't been washed, and the remedy is to wash him. So you see ayef means unwashed, and therefore we understand that one of the afflictions that David endured was being unwashed in the desert, and that constitutes therefore inui, as Shlomo Melech said when he was talking to Eviasar. Okay, so that's rechitza, washing for pleasure washing. The third is uvasicha. Sicha is anointing oneself, and this actually is forbidden, even if it's not for pleasure. If it's just to remove filth from your hand, to use some kind of emollient or something, as they did in the olden days, that like they use oil and scrape off the oil, that would be forbidden on Yom Kippur. The basis of sicha being, refraining from sicha, constituting inui, is that the verse in Daniel, it's Daniel Perek Yud Pasuk Gimel 10:3, says, talking about, this is Daniel speaking, he says, Lechem chamuros lo achalti, I didn't eat fine bread, uvasar v'yayin lo va'elpi, I didn't, meat and wine didn't enter my mouth, v'soch lo sachti, and I didn't anoint myself. And later on, when the angel speaks to Daniel, he says, V'yomer Eli, the angel said to me, Al tira Daniel ki min hayom harishon, don't fear Daniel, because from the first day, asher nasata es libcha lahavinu lisanos, as soon as from that first day when you committed yourself, you set your mind to understand and to self-afflict, lisanos, inui, afflict yourself, lifnei elokecha, nishmu devarecha. From that moment that you committed to afflict yourself before Hashem, your words were heard, your prayers were heard, and you see what were the afflictions he took upon himself, included amongst them were not soch lo sachti, not to anoint oneself. Therefore, you see that sicha is a refraining from anointing, constitutes an inui, and therefore you can't do it, like I said, even if it's not for pleasure, but just for, you know, for cleanliness. However, anointing for the sake of refuah, for medical needs, is, yes, permitted. So if you have oimut that needs to go in your, I don't know what, your foot, because you have something going on or something, that would be permitted. I'm ignoring the halachas about memareach and smearing the ointment and so on. But the point is, there's no iser on applying ointments for medical needs. Ask a rabbi if you have a shayla. Then number four is ne'ilas ha-sandal, wearing, literally putting on the sandal, wearing shoes. This is specifically leather shoes. The basis for refraining from shoes being a inui is the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Tesvav, pasuk Lamed. Again, we're talking about David Melech. We confirmed before, suffered various Inuim and his flight from Avshalom. It says, V'David Ola Ma'ale Hazesim. David went up from this place called Ma'ale Hazesim. V'holech Yachef. He went barefoot. So you see, barefootedness is being is an inuyot itself. And this applies to leather shoes, specifically leather sole, but really, the Pasha says any, even the leather upper, if you have a rubber sole, is also forbidden, according to this Isser. The truth is that even if you're wearing totally, say, canvas shoes with rubber soles and so on, really, it's improper to wear those shoes on Yom Kippur if you can't feel the ground, as is the case with most well rubber comfortable shoes. Really, so it's proper to not wear such shoes. You should wear the kind of shoes or foot covering that you still can feel the ground beneath your feet to fulfill this properly, besides the leather issue. And finally, Tashmish Amita, marital relations. So when Yaakov Avino is fleeing from Lavan, and then Lavan catches up to him, so they have like a final negotiation and goodbye, and Lavan threatens Yaakov not to afflict Lavan's children, Yaakov's wives, Rachel and Leah, and they're in Bereishis Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Nun. He says, Imtane es benosai, if you afflict my daughters, a reference to refraining from marital relations. So there you go. The halach is that all the regular harchakos kick in, like a regular nida during the Yom Kippur day, across the board. Okay, and perhaps even more with lighting a candle in the bedroom, and so on. Okay. So that's the basic five inuim and the things one must refrain from on Yom Kippur, maybe Ol Daraisa, maybe besides for eating and drinking, just Nesmachtan Derabbanan. At all events, we now have some kulas according to Rabbi Eliezer. First of all, the Mishnah says, V'hamelech v'hakala yirchatsu es paneihem. The king and the newlywed bride may wash their faces. We're talking about a king in any time, really, the truth is, because the king is meant to be presenting like a royal face, if you will, to the people. And there's actually a pasuk like that. The pasuk says, Melech b'yofio techezene necha. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. But the point is, you'll behold the glory of the king, and therefore we require that the king, says Rabbi Eliezer, look presentable and with a washed face, so you see him in his glory. And as for the woman who gave birth, we're talking about someone, the kal of the newlywed woman, and we're talking within 30 days of her chuppah, so we want that she should be attracted to her husband, and not he shouldn't be off-put by her, if she looks not well, when she doesn't wash her face. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is lenient. And also, besides for the face washing for those two, he also says, the chaya tinol es hasandal, a woman who recently gave birth, meaning within the 30 days of her giving birth, she has the status of being a chola she'em basakana, someone who's unwell, even though it's not life-threatening anymore necessarily, but we're concerned for the cold on her feet, making things worse, and therefore, Devi Rebbe Eliezer, according to Rebbe Eliezer, she may wear shoes on her feet, we're lenient with her. And the chacham ostrin, however, the rabbis forbade all three of these things, the bride and the king from washing their face, and the new mother from wearing leather shoes. Now, interestingly, the halacha normally is like the chachamim, and the halacha is normally not like Rabbi Eliezer, who's shamuti, remember, that doesn't matter, the halacha normally doesn't follow Rabbi Eliezer, but since the Gemara ends up giving explanations and focusing on his rationale, most poskim, including the Bar Tanura, goes like the Rambam, said the halacha does follow Rebbe Eliezer, meaning there will be a leniency for a king to wash his face, a new bride to wash her face, and the pregnant woman to wear shoes. Halacha lemaisa, though, kings are not a factor. Women today who give birth don't need to rely on this because they can wear, other non-leather shoes, not a problem. And as for the newlywed bride, although it's true the halacha mikra din would be she could wash her face, it's brought down that nowadays, since typically the husband leaves home before the wife wakes up on Yom Kippur, he's there in shul all day and doesn't come back till after Yom Kippur, so there's no need for her to be washing her face because anyways he doesn't really see her, and therefore there's every reason not to be lenient because the rationale for leniency doesn't apply in practice, b'zman hazeh.